A few years ago, Elsie decided that she would like to be the sole director and arrange for an assassin to murder Mr. Lewis. Elsie and the would-be murderer both ended up in jail, and Mr. Lewis had very severe head injuries caused by a matchet. Needless to say, the relationship between Mr. Lewis and Elsie was not good. Her incarcerated position also rendered her somewhat difficult to deal with as a trustee for Mr. Lewis's pension scheme. The financial advisor, Sylvia, became involved because Mr. Lewis was being put under pressure to resign as a trustee under the pension arrangement with Provident Mutual, a life insurance company, which had been set up for the directors of the company some year prior to the attempt on his life. Mr. Lewis's solicitors were particularly concerned that he should not resign until his benefits were protected. They had approached Sylvia to establish what needed to be done and how they should proceed. Other small personal pension contracts and other executive pensions from an associated company were also in existence. However, in that second set of circumstances, the company had been the trustee rather than the individual directors, and, as the company was now in liquidation, the receivers had taken over the position as the company trustee. Now, what do you think your course of action would have been in this set of circumstances? What questions would you have asked? And how do you think Mr. Lewis could be extracted, along with his benefits, from the circumstances in which he now found himself? Take a few minutes just to think and maybe jot down a few notes. Thank you. Sylvia felt that the benefits needed to be transferred from the executive pension arrangements before Mr. Lewis resigned as a trustee. That would leave Elsie, his erstwhile director, to look after her own affairs with the original company pension scheme in which they had both had original individual arrangements. Discussions were started with Provident Mutual about the transfers which were necessary to avoid incurring any penalty to Mr. Lewis. The initial reaction from the insurers was that they would be pleased to proceed with the transfer, but there would be a penalty because some of the contributions had only been paid for a relatively short time. In fact, the contract had only been running for 3 years, and although increases had been added in the latter part of that time, contributions stopped fairly quickly thereafter. Those were regular payments. Sylvia established that there were several pensions available. A couple of personal pensions. A Scottish Mutual Section 226 retirement annuity pension had been in force between 1985 and 1987, and that was now fully paid up. A Provident Mutual personal pension collecting national insurance rebates had been established from April 1987. A Provident Mutual personal pension was established, taking up a transfer value from Mr. Lewis's previous employment with British Telecom, which had ceased in 1985. A further Provident Mutual executive pension arrangement had been started in May 1987. Mr. Lewis and his co-director were trustees. And finally, a National Provident executive pension had commenced in 1989 from employment in an associated company. The company trustees were now the receivers. Andrew Lewis and Elsie Gotcher were trustees under the Provident Mutual Executive Pension Arrangement. Sylvia's suggestion was that monies be transferred into the Provident Mutual Personal Pension, which had already accepted a transfer from British Telecom.